You are listening to Keep It, unless you got rid of it because it did not spark joy in your life.
Can I say that? I watched that on New Year's Day. I watched the Marie Kondo Netflix show. And I love her. But it's the same shit over and over again. It's just people.
It was really my Keep It today. I'm going to come up with a new one
it's
now.
I just need the reveals. I just need the before and afters.
I like the book.
Yes, I like the book.
But yeah, it was really just like a lot of scenes of people folding clothes.
And no one had any conflict with the cleaning. There was very little, like I expected the couple who had that enormous house with like all of that shit in it.
Yeah.
I expected the husband to be a little more interesting. I was like, oh, surely they're going to fight about things. And he just quietly and respectfully cleaned up his house.
Right.
That was it.
Also, I mean, I respect her basically as a scammer. She walks in, she's like, what would make this place cleaner? What if you cleaned? And then they do it.
Right. As a home makeover show where you make everyone else do the work, it is sort of a beautiful scam.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that the first episode features a truly horrendous couple.
They were fine.
I just felt like
the kids.
The people who kept saying, babe.
I know.
Babe.
He seemed so angry the whole time. And she kept being like, no, remember when you helped out that one time? Like, she kept trying to, like, feed him, like, qualities we would like. And then he wouldn't take them.
I'm just like, there is nothing wrong with sending your laundry out.
Right. You know, also, she does so little work.
Oh, please.
She walks in and smiles.
Yeah, she walks in and is like, this is how you fold some T-shirts. So go fold some T-shirts. I'll be back in a week. Like, she doesn't do anything. It's incredible.
When she vanished, and then it was like a week later, I was like, well, damn.
She's like, clean the garage. I'll be back next week.
Nor does she have any insight on the family, really. She's not like, oh, well, that's got to stop or anything. She's just, figure it out. I'm going to go find another well-fitted camisole.
This is in 2019. These are the scams we need to be finding for ourselves.
Marie
Kondo was getting some checks off of very little.
Minimum amount of work.
Yes.
Smiling at people, giving some hugs. And the translator's doing most of the work.
Totally.
Actually having to have a conversation with these people. And Marie's like, I'm just going to wander around.
Because my favorite thing is, too, like, when she will speak English, like, quite well.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Out of nowhere. She just sort of didn't want
to. She didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Kara and I spent a lot of time watching Netflix in the new year.
Oh, God.
Because we also watched the show You.
Oh, which you won't shut up about. That's right.
Well, I finished it last night.
It's insane.
It's literally bonkers.
I love Penn Badgley, so.
How skinny was he?
He's too skinny.
Were you like, eat a sandwich, man?
Yeah, he like lost like a full N in his name.
Well.
Yeah, it's just one N.
I would like to do a reading of my favorite line from that show. A show which had many incredible lines.
Please do. I know which one it is.
He's been clean since 9/11. Beck, he was in an airport when it happened. I was like, that is incredible.
You is a show that aired on Lifetime last year, and it was canceled by Lifetime, and Netflix is doing the second season, so it dropped in the new year, and it is truly bonkers.
It's about the dumbest woman in Manhattan and her stalker.
They should have named it The Dumbest Woman in Manhattan.
First of all, this white woman and her open windows that she continues to have sex in front of. She is also being followed by this man in a cap for months, and she never
even
notices.
Right there. He's right there.
Oh, God, and she doesn't see him?
There are scenes where he's at the next table, just sort of like peeking over his shoulder, and it's like, bitch, open your eyes.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I guess I'll watch this.
It's worth it.
All right.
Yeah, every person of color is very smart.
The one black woman was like, I don't know about this dude.
Right.
And sure enough, things worked out much better for her than it did a bunch of other people.
Well, and Shay Mitchell is the only one who's like, you know what? Let me get a gun.
Yeah. She's like, your dude is real creepy. Does this not seem at all weird to you? And she's like, I don't know. Also, the names in that show, Guinevere,
oh,
Blythe,
yeah.
Peach Salinger.
Peach Salinger.
Oh, which who gets like think pieces written about her? Like, I can't stop hearing about that
People
character.
People are obsessed with Peach. She's kind of iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's played by Shay Mitchell from Pretty Little Liars.
Right. Also, I'm very happy that we have a new entry in the Gossip Girls being psychotic genre, because I always remember that movie, The Roommate, with Leighton Meester.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Those people should always be playing creeps. They're so pretty.
Well, it's also fun if you watch Gossip Girl, too, because Dan ended up being Gossip Girl. Mm-hmm. So now it's sort of like, this is what Gossip Girl would really look like if that boy was running around all over Manhattan stalking
taking
people.
Notes like Blue's Clues
everyone
all day.
Everyone I texted with about the show, we just called him Dan Humphries. I was like, why is Dan Humphries, why does he have a cage in his basement?
There's a cage.
There's a book cage.
In the bookstore. There is, he holds people in it. It's just, you really have to see it to believe it. There is one thing that I need to tell you.
Yes.
The girl Candace on the show. Do you know who that is?
No.
That is Lala from Vanderpump Rules' husband's ex-wife.
What? Oh, duh.
That is the mother of his two kids. That is the woman who was legally separated from her man when she couldn't mention him on Vanderpump Rules because they weren't divorced yet.
You know what?
She's 29.
She's 29?
She's 29. She had two kids by a movie producer, got divorced, and now she's on a Netflix show.
It really just deepens you. It's just another layer to a show with already so many layers.
I want to be clear. So this show is over?
Well, no, the first season just ended.
Oh, I see. I thought you said they canceled it on Lifetime.
Got it. And Netflix has decided that they're going to produce the second season.
Oh, heroic.
Also,
okay.
Women in 2019, we're not talking to men. Because based off of this, you're like, oh, I just can't speak to a man ever again.
Right, no.
Marie Kondo's not doing it either. She's got a translator. Anyway, we're going to kick off 2019 by, unfortunately, talking to a man. But it is Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek. I am very excited.
He is a dreamboat.
He's a delight. And we're going to talk to him about the Golden Globes.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, Kevin Hart did a great job.
Oh, sure.
It was fantastic. We're going to get into that with him. Also, we're kicking off the show in 2019. I didn't feel like talking about Louis C.K. this week.
Mm.
I mean, we know that nigga's trash.
Didn't spark joy? Yeah.
He's trash. Whatever.
He's continued to be trash.
He's still masturbating. He hates the Parkland kids.
Was Kevin Spacey while we were on vacation?
Yes,
the
it
video?
Was.
Too.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey also dropped a hot new video from his upcoming album. He was doing his Southern accent while in his kitchen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Robin Wright was like, can I leave the fucking planet?
That happened. And also, Tiffany Haddish was harassed by a man. Men have just been trash.
Already.
2019.
Guys, it's
already.
Been like 4 days.
She had a bad New Year's stand-up set, which a lot of stand-ups have.
Relatable.
Set.
Yeah.
It's a live show. And some dude just like filmed her, walked up to the stage.
You know, I know that like heckling is part of, I don't go to a lot of stand-up comedy shows. I know that heckling is part of the thing. Yeah, right. Is part of it. And you know, like a comedian sort of clapping back and that kind of thing. But honestly, at a certain point, I was like, fucking security should have removed that dude.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It's disgusting.
Because he's just, and he's messing with her, like, kind of because she's a black woman, too. And you're like, just go.
If he's going up and recording the stage and yelling into his phone, he needs to be removed.
And she's in, like, an arena. So it's not like a club where she could sort of yell back. They could have the dialogue and she could do whatever and make jokes. It's like, she can't address that dude from the stage. So he's really just upsetting the performance.
Right. I mean, only Patti LuPone has a voice that can really resonate through an entire theater and yell at someone.
Oh my God, legendary.
Anyway, are we ready?
I guess.
All right, when we're back, we're going to do things a little differently this year. We're going to talk about the Golden Globes with Dan right away. We're back to talk about the Golden Globes, which were 25 hours.
Yes.
It was like watching a Greek play competition. We are here with Dan Levy.
I can't tell you how excited I am to be here.
You sound excited.
I leapt out of bed this morning.
Oh my God.
Just,
oh my God.
Never happened.
Was that an accident?
Yeah. Partially.
It'll subside. Give it like 3 minutes.
All right. Yeah. Perfect.
You'll hate us by the end of it.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, we never start out with a guest. This is so exciting.
This is a 2019 twist.
Yeah. Like,
I'm
you were
honored.
In our first topic.
I am absolutely honored.
But we needed a special guest for the 76th annual Golden Globes, which were on Sunday night. Hosted by Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg. Sandra was great.
There was like 5 seconds of dead silence.
I tried to remember what happened. It was mere 2 days ago.
Sandra Oh looked incredible. She continues to have the best head of hair in Hollywood. And she looked amazing.
And that snatched red number? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Couldn't have looked better.
Couldn't have.
I'm still trying to remember it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, well,
it's coming to me in waves.
Do you remember any of their jokes?
What I remember is Sandra Oh's like sincerity.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Which was nice. I felt like, in particular, it was an incredibly sort of powerful night for her.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That could not have gone better for her in terms of just walking away with the trophy. And I mean, her parents.
Oh my
the
God,
dads, yeah. Your dad. I know.
By the way, I'm totally a fan of people hosting award shows and then giving awards to themselves. And it's particularly if it's Sandra Oh.
I know. Absolutely. I was like, she's getting this. When she was standing there, I was like, girl, you know they're giving you this.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like,
just strut out here and get that glove.
It's a really great in the wings win.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? When they're standing and they get to come out and you get the behind the scenes shot of people like being totally surprised.
And she got there fast.
Real fast.
Because she was right there. She didn't have to do that bullshit maze through the table. She was like, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm talking.
She earned an extra like 20 seconds on her speech. Just from proximity.
Right.
Speaking of people taking too long to get to the stage, it was quite rude how far away Glenn Close was.
Oh, no. She was like at McDonald's next door.
Glenn Close, let's just get right to that, won that glove. Lady Gaga did not win for A Star Is Born in acting.
Yes.
Glenn Close won for The Wife. Glenn Close had to take a train to get straight to the stage.
She had to do a front handspring over 3 tables.
An airport shuttle that picked her up at her table and did its best to get her to the stage.
It was nice to see her win, though.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Her speech was very moving. It was a nice, like, moment. Had not heard of that movie, but I was very happy for her.
Michael Douglas won that night, too, so they had a little Fatal Attraction reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen... I'm more of a TV person. Mm-hmm. So like I watch a ton of, I feel like when we talk about stuff, like I have watched a lot of TV and like, I think the two of, you watch a lot of TV too, Ira, but you, like Lewis, you
I'm
do
very
a lot more film.
Yeah.
But even
I
for me,
these two Spider-Verses together.
Even for me, this year's Golden Globes, it felt like chaos. I was like, what are these movies? I've never even, at least I've heard of them. You know, there's like, I'm like, oh yeah, that one. I was like, they made this up tonight. This isn't a movie. I had not heard of anything that had won or was nominated. I was like, what is happening?
No, like even Green Book, which won Best Picture, is not like a hit. You know, like none of these movies are like bouncing off, like are legends.
No, it's very weird that I haven't seen some of these movies.
Have you seen The Wife?
Some of them I just didn't care. I did see The Wife and I enjoyed it.
Did you go to did you buy a ticket and go to the theater or it was a screener?
It was a screener.
I got screeners. Multiple screeners, by the way.
I was at my dad's house and there were 2 Wife screeners. Like, The Wife is drowning people in screeners. They are just like, here, have 6.
And it's also the definition
It'll ensure
of the screener.
That you're going to watch it. And you did.
Yeah.
It's the definition of the screener that shows up first and like the most bare bones jacketing. They're just like trying to get it into the conversation.
Yeah, it's like a compact disc sleeve, like an envelope. Instead of the actual case.
It looks like a PlayStation 1 game.
I don't have a DVD player, so I have my screeners from like the last 3 years just sitting. I'm like, oh, I guess.
Stacks of them.
There's
just boxes of like
I
Netflix
use my PlayStation.
Television shows.
Like,
that,
oh, yeah, the Netflix.
Should buy a
of
DVD
it all.
Player. They're like $30.
I thought about like what they should do now is do like a little portable DVD player that can just USB into your TV. Because I had to dust off my PlayStation to hook up and I eventually just said no. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch Mary, Queen of Scots. There, I said it.
Oh, my God. Should I weep in front of you?
My DVD player was too impossible to hook up.
Well, you know what? We invited Saoirse here to berate you in person.
Oh, my gosh. Where is she? That dress was incredibly eye-catching.
She looked great.
She always looks great.
Don't you feel like one of the things that was bothering me, though, with some of the fashions of the evening, one, I don't... personally, and I think it's because, like, if a man is standing next to me, I don't want him in some busy-ass jacket. And I was like, some of these dudes, these tuxedo jackets, it's like, a tux is only so interesting, sir. Just calm down with the beating.
Oh, yeah. Zara and Top Man happened to
exactly.
everybody.
Exactly. It was a bit too much. And then
Timothée
felt like...
Timothée Chalamet looking like he was entering, competing with Adam Rippon
it was just
in a skating competition.
And then all of the women, so many of the women were in these, like, very 90s, like, strapless A-line ball gown things. And I was like... I don't know that this is the look that's strongest for everyone.
It did feel like very Emmys 1998.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like a classic strapless Emmys. I mean, it was...
So many of them.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson's coming out moment was the theme of the 2019 Golden Globes.
But it's like, I don't remember... I remember Sandra Oh's red dress. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what anyone else is wearing.
I remember Rachel Brosnahan and that yellow thing, which again is controversial because she has a white-pink complexion like I do. So mm-hmm. when you wear yellow, I get a little worried.
Well, yes. White women really should not be wearing yellow.
That's what I'm saying.
Gaga.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It was like a violet confection. Yeah.
I liked her
dress. She dyed the hair, too.
And did the hair as well. I feel like A Star Is Born really came into that show thinking, we've got it. Down.
They were 2 feet from the stage. Bradley Cooper
they were
had
on the
a
stage.
Chair turned.
The seats were actually side stage, and they were just waiting. And it never happened.
Never, no.
And I felt like even the show itself was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Who?
It is like the Golden Globiest movie. Like, fits perfectly into the musical category, into which it was not submitted, which is some
well, that's
hackery.
The other thing. And I almost wonder whether they regretted it in the end. They were like, do we go drama? Do we go musical? Do we do... And then chose drama. Because I guess that's a closer step to the Oscar consideration.
Right, but it was such
a
strong...
with a comedy.
Yeah, right. It was such a strong playing box office movie. I don't know why they
did
that.
Well, actually, you know what? I was not really shocked that Bohemian Rhapsody did so well. Just because I've been hearing so many people love it.
It also made a ton of money.
It made a ton of money. Like, regular people. You know, the people who aren't us. they loved this movie. And it's like, of course, I mean, people love Queen. Rami Malek is good in it, I assume. I'm not going to watch
haven't seen it.
I mean, I don't know how much Bryan Singer directed.
Most, mm-hmm. I think most of it.
Was he even thanked?
No.
Right.
So
but
there is now a complete, there's like just their
he did an
silence.
Instagram where he said, thank you, Hollywood Foreign Press. And it was a photo of him in a director's chair. And the only famous person I know of to congratulate him was Brett Ratner.
Okay. That movie, by the way, is very much, in the way a lot of biopics are, a Wikipedia movie. Like, you can just see them moving through the biography,
sure.
like, step by step. Though he is good in it.
And Queen... produced the film.
Yeah, Brian May is very much responsible.
Which made me wonder, like, what version of the story are we getting?
Right, the surviving members who are probably like, let's have a movie where Freddie Mercury is not the star.
Right.
That everybody was most interested in talking about.
Well, they keep, like, they talk about Freddie, and then there'll be a moment where the band's like, and did you know I came up with this drum solo? Like, oh, learning about the band's contributions to Queen. Like, yes, I'm sure you wrote shit in Queen. I'm not like...
It's
I
like
don't need to
Sarah
hear that
Franklin
in a movie.
Franklin is waiting for everyone in Destiny's Child to die so she can make that movie.
I was sitting there, though, because right before they announced it, I was like, Bohemian Rhapsody is going to win. Mostly, I was happy. I was like, I mean, not that I cared at all, but I was like mostly happy that Green Book didn't win.
No, Green Book did win.
He won in the other category.
Correct.
Green Book
won
drama.
Fuck.
Drama.
Wait.
Oh, you mean Viggo Mortensen did
yes,
win.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
That man.
Well.
Though, by the way, Mahershala did, not a performance I'm a fan of.
Can I also say, when they were standing...
He won for Moonlight.
Right.
We'll say
when they
that.
Were standing up there, you see Octavia Spencer and Mahershala standing, like, on the edges. So Mahershala starred in that film, and he's, like, way off to the side. And they have these looks, the way that you assume the cast of Crash was like, I don't know that this is going to age well. And they're, like, they both looked, like,
I'm so sorry. You just got a snort out of me with that.
They just looked like not as happy as you think they would. And they're thinking of 15 years from now and like this footage rolling.
Yeah.
And I could see the looks on their faces. And I'm like, guys, you're not the ones to blame. But yeah,
well,
this is going to look weird in 15 years.
Too, is I don't think people knew that Octavia Spencer was a producer on the film. And so now there were so many questions directed at her that
I
night.
I didn't know
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a producer. I mean, listen, I love Octavia, but she likes to make these kind of movies.
Yeah.
The Help. She has Tate Taylor on speed
Hidden
dial.
Hidden Figures is like in that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also.
It's just that, you know, black people liked Hidden Figures.
My favorite, well, my... My favorite moment was when one of those three white men who, you know, told our history was up there like a story about pre-civil rights era. And I was like, wasn't this movie set in like the 50s or 60s? I was not aware that was pre-civil rights era. Did not know that. Thank you, sir, for letting. I'm like, what is happening? What is happening right now?
You know what's also interesting about that movie is because it's about the 60s, I think people, for some people, forgive it for seeming dated in certain ways, but it truly feels like a movie made in 1968. It feels right. like an episode of All in the Family or something, where it's just like, can you believe it? These two got along. It's like, yes, I can't believe it. It's
can you not... believe the white guy introduced him to fried chicken?
Yeah. Literally a plot point.
It felt like a fever. Like, everything with the Golden Globes, I felt like a fever dream. I was like, I'm high. Some, like, this, nothing, none of this is actually happening.
Well, someone else who was probably expecting to win a lot was Vice.
Didn't they win?
I think they just won
he
one.
Won.
Didn't they?
Christian Bale won.
Christian Bale won, yeah. But Amy Adams once again was just sitting at the table. Not getting any award.
As a human being, I can't watch her lose things. I'm sorry. It's just it's too tough.
I'm tired of it. Can she stay home?
Right. Yeah.
It does become almost like a yearly thing where you're like, well, I guess I'll put the dress on. And
right.
Right.
I guess that's what I'm doing. Well, it's January, so it begins.
I know, and she's got her smile down, you know, just sitting there with the cameras there. And I'm like, I will say this year, like her dress, it looked like she was like, I don't know, guys, just bring me whatever. Like, it didn't look like she was like, this is going to be a moment. She's just like, I have to wear a dress tonight. Just
well, that's
me
a conversation
whatever.
That, like, I wonder what you have. What is that conversation with the stylist? Like, I mean, yeah. I think most people going into an award show know what their chances are.
Right.
So mm-hmm. the conversation would inevitably be like, let's go under.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I necessarily want to do the full.
I don't need the two pairs
dress.
Of Spanx tonight. You know, like, I'll just be comfortable because I'm going to be sitting
Let's
here.
Keep me comfy. Yeah.
Like, Charlize Theron and Tully, not going to win. Was she wearing sweatpants? Maybe. I don't know.
Underneath, likely.
Yeah.
Gaga's dress was so big because she thought that she was going to have
Absolutely.
To carry all the globes.
It was going to be a moment. And yeah. she got that moment for Best Song.
Yeah.
Just not the one that I think she wanted.
Yes. No.
Of course not. Bradley Cooper did not win. Anything either.
I mean, he's also the thing that I think is funny is come Emmys and Oscars, it's going to be an entirely different group of people. Like winning, like Green Book is not winning Oscars.
I hope not.
Well,
that's an interesting thing because I feel like they always talk about how the Golden Globes are some precursor for Oscar stuff, and that A Star Is Born not getting the awards that they thought it would get in some way would affect its Oscar
right.
chances. I don't actually know if this year is that kind of
no,
thing.
It feels like it's going to be a very different, or even like the like that The Good Place just was, there was nothing.
Oh, right. Well, by the way, if we're talking about the TV awards and Golden Globes, like they
are lunacy because the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Oh, they don't know.
They
shit.
Don't watch TV.
No, right, they always pick the newest show. Their big thing is picking the show you haven't seen yet, so you can't knock them for being wrong. They're like the Kaminsky method. It's great. Just trust me on this.
That's a solid strategy.
Right. Yeah. And also, it used to be that there weren't so many movie award shows. So when the Golden Globes awarded stuff, you thought, oh, naturally this would lead to what wins at the Oscars. But now we have all these Critics Circles awards and stuff, and those tend to be more prescient than the Golden Globes, which is just guessing at what's going to happen
what's
at the Oscars.
Weird about Golden Globes with TV too is that the Golden Globes always comes at the beginning of the year, and then the Emmys are like in September. By the time the Globes roll around, I can never remember which season of a TV
right.
show someone is nominated
well, that,
for.
Rachel Brosnahan won for second season of Maisel this year, or was this her first?
She won the Emmy for the first season, and then she also won a Golden Globe last year
for the first season.
Correct. Yes.
So this is she won for the second season.
Which
just
maybe,
came
maybe.
Out.
I felt like the second season aired during the Globes. So
the premiere of Maisel happened simultaneously with the Golden Globes.
I had not heard of, I mean, I kept seeing like The Bodyguard on Netflix and I was like, is it Whitney? I assumed
yeah.
it was a remake of the
Sadly,
Whitney Houston classic.
It's not.
It's not. Ugh. But like that and the, I thought the Kaminsky Method was a TV show or a movie. because I kept walking by the billboard. You know the billboard above the Shell station on Fairfax? Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, this Netflix movie that Ben Stiller did. And then I literally figured out it was a TV show when I saw it was nominated in these categories.
Yes. No, Ben Stiller did Escape at Dahomey.
Didn't he also?
Comiskey Method is Chuck Lorre.
Chuck Lorre. Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anything to do with it.
It seems
wasn't
like
he on? Wasn't he on one of the billboards? Am I making this up? Maybe all these men look the
now
same.
Now I'm confused.
I don't know anything. I don't know what was happening.
I actually have not watched the Kominsky Method.
Of course you have. Of course you haven't.
I love a Chuck Lorre joint.
Yeah. I enjoy the show Mom.
Uh-huh.
I actually do like Mom.
Allison Janney, by the way, looked great.
She looked amazing.
She's 6'7" and so nice about it.
It's incredible how, I mean, you know.
Oh, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
And Jamie Lee Curtis.
We actually, so Lewis and I worked on Busy Tonight's Golden Globe special.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Sitting there hacking out jokes.
Yeah, writing jokes. Mm-hmm. We were there. I feel like everyone went crazy when Jamie Lee Curtis walked out.
It was a look.
She looked great.
It was a full head-to-toe white, like, iced
Kara, how
house.
About?
I liked the dress.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you, Michael Myers has been hunting her for decades, Kara. Okay?
She's been exhausted running from death for decades.
Guys, this is what I'm saying, though, where I was like, clearly, I don't know anything that happened at the Golden Globes, quite obviously. I don't know what was happening.
Jamie Lee
know.
Did look exceptional. And
her
also,
dress was
she
very
just has
nice.
Such a command.
Her dress was very nice.
She always she just has that. I've used this reference before. Joan London for Claritin. It's a particular look of seriousness and sheath dress that she brought to it.
Well, I have. You were talking about The Bodyguard before. I haven't watched it yet, but Richard Madden is one
well,
of the most gorgeous
it.
Men I've
yeah.
ever
He's
seen.
He's great in the show.
Okay,
I'm
I need to
watch
great
it.
In the show.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great in my dream last night.
Ew,
so
gross.
I feel like The Bodyguard
oh, good God.
Can uh-huh. live up to expectations.
Yeah.
I wish I was dead. You know what else I love, though? Schitt's Creek.
Oh, that's yeah. very nice of you to say.
Do you know what Schitt's Creek is like to me? It's like Happy Endings or 30 Rock or the movie Clue, where people find it and then agree on it, and it's their fucking thing, and people are just obsessed with getting the fix of it. You know, it's like cult super love, you know.
I mean, that's a beautiful compliment. That's sort of what you're hoping for,
you know.
I think so.
Well, no. Schitt's Creek is what's funny is I feel like I started watching it a bit in the first season. I don't know what mm-hmm. it aired on. It was on Pop.
It's on
but
Pop.
But I saw it on something
Netflix, likely.
Yeah. No, I saw it. I think I saw it through Pop at first because for some reason I used to have Pop. Mm-hmm. But now I watch it on Netflix, and mm-hmm. I feel like the show really took on like a whole different life once it was added to Netflix.
Well, in the trajectory, I think, of the show, we have now somehow gotten like two premieres. So we get Pop premiere, and then 6 months later we get a Netflix premiere, and I feel like the people that are watching it on Netflix aren't watching it on Pop, and the people that are watching it on Pop don't.
But it's
need
also
to watch it on Netflix
in Canada too. So
yeah,
it's like three premieres.
A day before.
Okay.
So for us,
Canada.
We've been basically being like, can't we do the same day? Because this live tweeting shit is really intense
why
for
does,
2 days.
Why does Canada just wants the? They just want the.
Well, I mean, it can't. I guess. I mean, I don't. Why? I mean, why can't America?
Can't you argue with Canada?
Is Canada?
Yeah.
Can't you bully Canada?
Listen, I love Canada.
It's
I love my hometown.
It's great.
My hometown of Canada.
It's setting a
my
bar.
My hometown of Canada.
My hometown of Canada. Speaking of, I just watched the. Was that Jimmy Kimmel clip where they were just asking people on the street about like, pick a country?
Oh, right.
Some clip going around where it's like asking Americans to pick a country on a map, and it's just a blank map with all of the countries on it, and no one could pick a country.
Oh. Deeply pathetic.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Sounds like America.
Well, or me at this point. So,
how much time do you spend in Canada?
We shoot there for 3 months, and then we're sort of there for post after that, and we put it all together.
But you live here, so.
I'm back and forth. The funny thing was I sort of like moved away from Toronto to come here and like try and make something of myself. And then 6 months later, it's like, yeah, back to Toronto. That'll be where you'll stay for a bit.
I was in Toronto shooting something this year, and I was like, it was with like the crew and everything. I was like, this is a fun vibe. It's
really low key
yes.
and nice.
Yeah. It was like a little bit more maybe conducive to just productive creative work because mm-hmm. everyone was just like very on board and polite, yeah, and everyone was just trying to get shit done.
Because you're living, like, beside the dark clouds. They're there. You know there, and sometimes you get the, like, rain spillover, but you're not living under them perpetually.
Yeah, yeah. I was there during the election, our midterm elections, and everyone was so, they were like, I think it's going to work out well for you. And I was like, thank you guys, because I'm stressed out. And I was like, they were like, we're actually kind of nervous too, because you don't realize that this shit fucks everyone up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone's life
the
is ruined
effects are insane.
When America's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, guys, I'm thank you for the support.
I think, and that's ultimately when it comes to like what we're doing on the show, you just put joy out into the world. Like, try and put good things out. Try and make some stuff and make it positive. And
literally one of my favorite things on the show is your relationship with Patrick. Mm. I just think that's joyful to me.
It is joyful.
And I just think the character of David is very joyful too. I know that you're in the new rebrand of Out Magazine, which is coming out.
It came out today or something.
It did,
I saw my name on the top and actually had to like double check that it was me.
It comes out on the 22nd.
Okay, the cover came out today.
The cover came out with Tommy Dorfman and Hari Neff. I contributed to the debut issue.
It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it looks great. But
do you remember being in it?
I do. I remember having the interview, but then I saw my name and I'm like, that feels way too important for what was going on, but I'm happy to be involved.
But I just love the fact that your character gets to be this, you know, fluid queer character on the show. And it's not a sitcom where it's, you know, it's not family ties. There are no special episodes about you having a friend dying of AIDS or anything.
No, there's no consequence negatively associated with the relationship. And I feel like from my experience, generalizing obviously, but a lot of like queer relationships on television are always sort of
dramatic,
met with either like some kind of consequence where we're trying to teach someone a lesson of like, you know, it was really important for us to just show the transformational effects of loving in sort of an open an accepting environment.
Yeah, so, it feels like a lot of queer relationships on TV, a plot point is, how will they deal with terrible straight people?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't care sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Also, I mean, it must be said about this show. So you're obviously on it with your father and also a comedy legend named Catherine O'Hara. I always say I don't relate to the movie Home Alone because I've never taken Catherine O'Hara for granted. This many seasons into the show, in which you also write, have you been proud to give both of those people, comedy legends I've known about my entire life, shit that we would never see them do otherwise, or shit that takes them out of their comedy comfort zones?
I mean, to articulate it like that is now making me anxious. But yeah, I mean, listen, to be able to write for both of those people, one of whom is my dad, the other...
I don't see the resemblance. I'm sorry.
It's a prominent brow, but that's it. I mean, it's an unbelievable gift, but more importantly, it really feels almost like the gift has been sort of what I've gotten out of it, because writing for them, watching them work is really a masterclass in comedy. It's a masterclass in conducting yourself in entertainment. They're like professionals and kind and really put collaboration first and foremost. And I have heard stories of friends of mine that have written on television shows where that is not the case. In fact, I think for the most part, ego and drama sort of prevail in television because it's a very high-stakes medium. To be able to be doing what we're doing in an environment that really feels like incubative and collaborative, that's set by them. That's like a bar that is set by them.
And they really are like completely beloved, like in a
also,
they seem real way.
Why Catherine hasn't received an Emmy nomination.
Oh, God.
For her performance. Granted, I am biased, clearly, sitting in this chair, but it's wild to me.
No, she's like Alice and Janney North. We love her,
yeah,
and she's capable of anything.
When I think about like all of the TV that I love, like when I watch the Emmys, it's almost like it would be nice, but there's just so much good shit that even if everything great mm-hmm. was nominated, it's mm-hmm. just like it's too much.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's this
well, it's
like,
500 TV shows on
yeah,
television now,
and it's,
so you can't possibly.
There's something about just being happy with like the shows that you love mm-hmm. and being really like passionate about them right now, in particular TV, where even something like the Emmys, like it would be great, but you're like, look at what we have.
Yeah. You can't define yourself by the award
yes.
recognition
yeah.
like at all. Speaking of TV and just a complete little sidebar, I now need to watch You.
Yes.
Oh, don't worry. We already like monologued.
We were talking about it. Have you seen
I mean, collectively,
about it,
like, it's
a crazy
like,
person.
I guess I need to watch that now.
You know what I would say? Get yourself a Domino's pizza.
Check.
Get yourself a bottle of red wine.
Got it.
If you happen to make a swing through MedMen, that might be nice too.
Wonderful.
And get ready.
Go to town?
Yeah, go to town. Turn on You and just see what happens.
Although you'll probably need like cocaine 6 episodes in because it is crazy. It is one of the craziest things I have seen on TV.
Tracking this commentary alone is like, I don't even know where to begin with.
And
it.
I watch Days of Our Lives every day. This show is pure lunacy.
But okay. It was in the beginning, I was like, do I like this? Do I like this? And I was like, I don't know if I like it, but I'm in it. I was like, I am in this.
You
like,
live
this
there.
So it's a success for the show.
Yeah.
Listen, I watched it all. Right. Netflix got my views.
Three Domino's pizzas, four bottles of wine later, and we finished the show.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is your Domino's pizza viewing? What are you like binging in a sort of...
I just finished The Americans.
Oh, sure.
Which... was wild.
I always say I would pay Keri Russell $10,000 to roll her eyes in my face.
She looked amazing at the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes.
No, she's like one of these like Michelle Pfeiffer-ish people where it's just you're never gonna look less than like the best human being.
Yeah,
you know.
We are going to the Critics' Choice Awards this weekend, and that's
congrats on that nomination.
Listen, yes. That's not why I brought it up. No, we're going, and all I want to do is. Like scope out their table.
Oh, sure.
You want to beat Penn Badgley and stand near Keri Russell.
I will the Americans table.
I'd
haven't even watched the show, but I'm assuming that's what it means.
Yes.
I would love to watch Keri Russell and Matthew Rhys just like make out.
What is that? I mean, that's part of the show. It's just
so
watching
hot.
That relationship unfold on camera, knowing it's also happening off camera.
Right.
That sigh, goodness.
It's a sexy show.
I have loved Keri Russell since she was stalking a man in New York on Felicity.
Two.
Yeah. Two men.
Excuse me, I've loved her since Are You Afraid of the Dark, so get on my level. Speaking of Canada, which is where that was
there
filmed.
You go. Was it real?
Most Nickelodeon in the 90s was filmed in Canada. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember which episode she was in?
Of what?
Are You Afraid of the Dark.
She was the new cast member they brought in, like, to tell stories. What do you mean, which episode she was in?
I just wanted to check.
Oh, God. Oh, you're right. I'm probably making up my knowledge, bitch.
Okay. First of all, I have been down with Are You Afraid of the Dark since that little boy was whispering, I'm cold.
Oh, the bike episode? Yeah.
It's such a good episode.
Okay, now I feel bad about being a Canadian, not knowing really about this.
No, usually when they do this, I like to get up, get a LaCroix, maybe do a bathroom break, stretch out. You just let it happen and go take care of it.
I'm just feeling bad about my Canadian knowledge.
I don't know
my trivia.
Don't.
Let's go get a LaCroix. We'll get a LaCroix. I'll fill up my coffee.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people that started on that show. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I want to say Alanis Morissette, or was that
another
show?
She was on
show?
You Can Do That,
you
on,
can
te-
do that
on
TV.
Yeah, speaking of Canada.
Slimed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to be on that show?
Of course. The slimed one? Or the Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Either one.
I mean, both of them looked ideal. Mm-hmm. Sitting around a campfire sharing ghost stories or getting slimed. I mean, sliming probably. The pre-slime would be great.
All right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Good morning.
It does make sense. Mm-hmm. Dan, I love you. Thank you for being here.
This was a dream come true, I have to say.
We're going to get you some bigger dreams.
Yeah.
I don't want bigger dreams. This is it for me, everybody. It's downhill from here.
Or at least like enough cash to like give to the Hollywood Foreign Press to give Catherine O'Hara and the show a Globe. I feel like we could accomplish that.
Listen, I think just like to wrap this all up, the awards things, you realize how much politics goes into it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It is wild.
It's crazy.
If Lady Gaga can't win.
Okay.
That goes against, I think, what I'm talking about.
I was just talking about the politics of it all.
I know.
She wore an entire linens and things.
She dressed for them.
Yeah.
She did it all for them. She won for American Horror Story. I thought she had it in the bag. I feel like once you're in, you're in.
Guys, nothing is real. That's going to be the 2019. As we go into
Matrix.
This year,
it's
none
like
of this
blessings.
Is real. I don't know what's happening. It's all chaos. None of this is real.
Enjoy the illusion unless it kills you.
Yeah. That felt like being ghosted after 6 Tinder dates.
Right.
That's how she felt, probably.
It's none of it's real.
She smiled.
This isn't even happening right now, guys.
Yeah. Well, you know what is happening? Schitt's Creek comes back for its 5th season. on Wednesday, January 16th, in America.
In America, with two back-to-back episodes, no less.
Yeah.
I'm daunted.
Giving America what they want.
Give them what they want.
An hour of TV.
When we're back, we're going to talk about my favorite person in the world, Kevin Hart. Well, in case you missed it, the Romans took Kevin Hart and nailed him to a cross last week.
Oh.
He is dying for our sins and his homophobic jokes.
I cannot believe we're still talking about this.
I know. We like to keep the topics fresh. Like, trust us, we don't want to talk about this that much more, but he keeps adding to the conversation.
He has wasted so much collectively of our time with this bullshit.
A story that really shouldn't have been a story.
Nope, sure.
All you had to do was apologize. You would still be hosting the Oscars. No one would care.
Or quit and be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also would have taken that.
But no, Kevin Hart is still on his apology tour where he hasn't truly apologized. And last week, he made an appearance on The Ellen Show where he announced that he was, quote unquote, evaluating if he should return to host the Oscars after all, after Ellen.
Ooh.
literally just sat there saying, Kevin, you're my friend. I think you should host the Oscars. I think you should host the Oscars.
I called the Academy and told them to take you back. I started a hashtag for you to come back to the Oscars.
First of all, couldn't you have texted the Academy? The Academy saw Ellen's seventh call and were like, if this heifer calls one more time. Send an email.
It's mind-boggling. Just, okay, well, first of all, as somebody who is obsessed with the Oscars, let me just say, pardon me if I've said this before, I don't usually care who the host is.
Right.
It's like people who are obsessed with football, it's like who is performing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, I guess I'll see it. But I'm not going to, years later with my boys, be like, oh my God, remember when the Dixie Chicks killed it in 03? No, it's not going to happen. So the fact that we're still on this conversation is so stupid. But the thing that was horrible about it was when he's sitting across from Ellen, he keeps referencing these years of apologies he's given. And by the way, we all have the internet, Kevin, so we can see your like alleged apologies. And most of the time, everything he has said up till now about his homophobic tweets, which we recounted in another episode, amount to, I wouldn't say those things now because people are more sensitive. And let me tell you something, Kevin. I already know you have a problem with wimpiness because one of the jokes you made was about smashing a dollhouse on your gay kid's head. So I already knew you had a problem with sensitivity.
And not even the Ibsen book.
No, right.
You know, for me,
which would hurt more.
Press with that prestige.
That play is so big.
For me, the Kevin Hart stuff, I have just found so profoundly like uninteresting. Like I thought his tweets were boring, stupid homophobia. It should have just been an immediate like, oh, this is not okay. We're done.
Yeah.
I thought the conversation around it is uninteresting. The most interesting thing that's happened was the Ellen conversation because I think it brought up conversations about marginalized groups and who is or isn't allowed to forgive. That's kind of interesting. But it is very much like, I think about a lot of the things that I wrote for Jezebel, which was very like racism 101. Like, by the way, this is bad. Like, I don't think people are having interesting conversations. To your point, I don't think anyone gives a shit who's hosting the Oscars. And it was just like, you're wasting our time with something that should have been such a quick, like, oh, look what we found. Great. We're done with him.
Yeah.
None of this needed to continue. And it's so uninteresting and it's taking away from other things that we could be having conversations about.
And also, by the way, we could be having a valuable conversation about like different kinds of homophobia. But for the most part, we got another quote-unquote apology from Kevin alongside Ellen, where he said the words Kevin Hart 50 times and the word homophobia once.
It was very weird that he kept referring to himself in the third person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh man, Kevin Hart's going to get to, I didn't even get to bask in the glow of Kevin Hart gets to host the Oscars. I'm like, do you know that you're Kevin Hart?
It was watching Ellen too, just sit there and saying Nothing. And it was really, it was that moment of like, oh, it's just because you're all rich and famous. Like, you're all operating. It's kind of like, it's not good, right? But you're like, wow, they have really abandoned all of these other things that might have been dividers between them because they're both super rich and famous. And it really was like the shit about the haters on the internet. And that shit was like, oh, Ellen is just sort of caping for someone else who's at her kind of like power level. And that's what she cares about. And it really was like, oh, that is, you're different because of the situation that you're in now.
Right. That's mostly what I addressed in the piece that I wrote for The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, do you still write? I meant to discourage you from doing that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, once I finish my novel on 16th century shoes in Russia, you will find out how great a writer I am.
Okay. Well, until fucking then.
Okay. The czars are waiting for it. Is that what they call them in Russia?
Czars, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Anyway, I just wrote about the fact that the self-preservation of celebrities is wild.
Crazy.
Because you could tell Ellen was like, I'm a comedian. I'm wealthy. Kevin Hart's a comedian. He's wealthy. We are sort of vibing. I mentioned that it was completely different from when she did an actual interview with Caitlyn Jenner on her views on same-sex marriage, which were wonky, because Ellen, as a lesbian who is married to Portia de Rossi, Caitlyn Jenner having fucked up views about same-sex marriage affected her.
Right.
You know? And so she was pissed off, and she had something to say. Also, Caitlyn Jenner is a Republican. She's part of the Kardashian family. She voted for Trump. It's obvious that Ellen isn't fucking with her and, like, doesn't go to parties where she's at.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Kevin Hart thing, it wasn't even an interview. It was just sort of like, oh, here's my friend. It was sort of like...
And then her trying to convince him to take the job back.
Right. It was sort of like, if I have a friend that Kara doesn't like, but I'm still friends with that person, I invite Kara to dinner, and then I invite that friend to dinner, and I'm just like, well, I like them. You should still be friends with them.
Right.
You know, it gave me a little bit of a Me Too thing in that the men that have spoken out and said dumb things, it's because they're kind of afraid it could happen to them. Not kind of. They're afraid it could happen to him. And the Ellen thing was a little like, she maybe could see a world where the trolls and the quote unquote haters are coming after her, another rich comedian, that kind of thing. And it seemed like she was like, that's
where
it was coming
from.
Well, to be
fair, they did. You remember on the Ellen show when she was literally slammed for that entire dog adopt
incident. Oh, my God, yes.
And then she did this tearful thing on TV that was obnoxious and wild. It was early days of Twitter. If it happened now, she would have gotten dragged
but
to
hell. But you could see, like, she's kind of afraid that, like, what happened to Kevin Hart could happen to her, which was why she probably felt the need to jump into this and to control that narrative and to do whatever she did with it. And, like, it's a little, I mean, it's not a little, like, it's sad and just also so deeply unnecessary.
Oh, yeah. Also, something to me that was so interesting and kind of un-Ellen about the whole situation was, I feel like she's somebody who, like, for instance, Kevin Hart keeps talking about basically a conspiracy against him and his reputation. I feel like Ellen is one of these people who, like, is a master of dealing with people online and kind of calming people down and sort of being like, it's okay that we all have these negative feelings or whatever. We can work through them. She basically was taking his side and being like, these people who don't like you, you're right. What is wrong with them? That felt very unlike her to me.
To be fair, I feel like it's also couched in the fact that there are constantly always rumors that Ellen is kind of not as nice as she pretends to be on TV.
Which would make me love her.
And I feel like part of it is she's always dealing with the things. Like when people who used to work for Ellen are always like, this was a bad experience for me. I feel like part of that was couched in her being like, I've had people saying that, like, I'm awful. I have the haters after me. I get what Kevin's going through. Like Kara said, the only interesting thing that really happened was seeing pieces from queer black people responding to the Ellen thing.
Right.
And especially Don Lemon, who at this point I think has been replaced by whatever body double is living in the White House pretending to be Melania. Because the Don Lemon who is on CNN addressing this is not the Don Lemon.
Is not the Don Lemon that once said to a woman who had been raped, why didn't you, like, fight back and bite his penis, basically. Not the same man.
Brand new Don Lemon. I really liked how he got to the point of, listen, we all hate it when people are like, the black community is more homophobic than the white community because white people are just as homophobic.
Well, there's like studies that they're literally not.
Yeah, and they are the ones who pass anti-gay legislation in America. But there is the idea that we do not address homophobia in the black community, especially when it comes to, you know, black male stars like a Kevin Hart. These things are things that like black queer people are supposed to just sort of brush off. It's a thing where it's sort of like, oh, he said like a homophobic joke, and his response of people are too sensitive now is why he doesn't tell those jokes suggests that he in no way has thought about it where he's like, those jokes are harmful to people.
Right.
It's just sort of like, oh, it's just jokes. I'm making fun of gay people. Like, we all do that.
Well, the thing about the Don Lemon stuff and what you said about the articles that came out, that conversation, right, about homophobia within the black community needs to happen with black people. White people have no business being part of that conversation. And so Don Lemon speaking to this other person and those writers having that conversation, like, this is something that, like, we need to deal with the way, like, white people should talk about white people and homophobia. And I think that that's sometimes where the conversation gets muddled. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, great, this is a time for, like, us to talk about this together and try to come to something. And like, there hasn't really been that opportunity where like those were the voices that were being elevated and getting a chance to talk about this.
Well, and it's particularly hard to have those conversations because now that, you know, media is so much more mainstream and accessible via social media, you know, black Twitter can't even have a conversation without white people jumping in or like a white media outlet reprinting what has been said or what's trending on it. It's the idea that, you know, you see a media takeout, the Shade Room, things like these which report on black celebrity. You look at the comments section and they are dripping with homophobia, misogyny. It's like these are conversations that I don't think that people in black media outlets are properly addressing. And it's a thing that we really do need to have that intra-community conversation without sort of talking with white people.
Yeah.
The thing that really upset me about Nick Cannon after...
What did he do?
Well, remember, because he was defending Kevin Hart at first.
All these dummies who've been defending him.
And the thing that he was doing when we talked about before, when he was like, well, you know, I remember when Sarah Silverman Amy
Chelsea
Schumer
Hammer,
or Chelsea Hammer made these things. I was like, we're not talking about these white people. We're talking about you.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about why no one batted an eye that Rick Ross, you know, just said fag in a new song on a Meek Mill and Jay track. It's like, Jay-Z, you are married to Beyonce. We know you got approval before that song came out.
Right.
Why is that on that song?
Can I also, Kevin Hart, I don't know if you know this, but it's not hard to search tweets, you dummy.
Right.
When he was up there like, they combed through my thousands of tweets. They're coming after me. You moron, it's a word search. Like, did he really think people scrolled through? He sounded like he thought people scrolled through thousands of tweets. And I was like, we already know you shouldn't be up here talking, but I was like, you really shouldn't be up here talking if that's what you think is happening.
That's how we know celebrities don't know how to use the fucking
internet.
Right.
That's what you're not involved in any of this.
I say, Alexa, Kevin Hart fag, and she's like, here are 20 pages.
It's also the fact that maybe, just maybe, people knew about the homophobic tweets already.
Right,
And just decided to ignore them because you're famous and we're like, let's just not fuck up his money. But then when you started to be announced as the Oscars host, a show which a lot of gay people give a fuck about, people are like, hey, didn't he tweet fag a bunch of times? Did a quick search and it came up.
Well, I resent the idea that Kevin Hart thinks he's so important that everyone was just like, the gays got together and said, let's get our plan together.
After all, there are seven of them.
Right.
We were at brunch and we're like, who are we taking down this week?
None of this was hard. It didn't take a long time. It didn't take a lot of effort. No one was trying to bring you down. This is real easy.
And also, by the way, he seems obsessed with the idea that we get some sort of thrill over like taking gigs away from him. Honey, I do not lose sleep because you didn't book Carnegie Hall. I do not care. You will be famous anyway. You know, it's just, it literally was a simple question. We talked about this the other week. Just a comprehensive actual apology, a reckoning with the culture in which these words and slurs exist. would have been enough. We would have been fine with you hosting the Oscars because, again, we don't care who hosts the
Oscars. If men knew how to apologize, we would have been done with this shit.
Yeah.
Weeks ago. I was like, I cannot believe, or just like a publicist. I'm like, who is your publicist?
Yeah.
Like, oh, just a well-worded fucking statement, and we would have been done with this shit.
Remember when, like, Scarlett Johansson apologized for whatever role she had taken that was Asian or something? And then she, the transgender role that she almost took. And then she, whatever PR person she paid $2,500 to, they did a great job.
Right.
Write it all out.
Which reminds me that we did not bring out the fact that Emma Stone shouted, "I'm sorry," during Sandra Oh's monologue.
That was
about
very funny.
Asian and Aloha.
Yes.
That was hilarious. I just lastly want to say that Don Lemon also said that Kevin Hart can help change homophobia in the black community. And I'm not expecting him to really be a beacon of change. It is Kevin Hart. I wouldn't ask him to help me order at a restaurant. But I will say that there's something to be said about media, television and film when we see black queer stories told on like Empire or anything else. It's usually by like Lena Waithe doing something. Mm-hmm. It's usually by a black queer artist. And it feels very hard sometimes being part of such a small community trying to tell these stories. And the way that Regina King, my goddess, mm-hmm. at the Globes was like, you know, include more women in your films and in your crews. And when we talk about fixing diversity and gender parity in Hollywood, it usually involves adding more people of color, adding more women to things. One thing you could easily do is just work with more queer people. Right. You know, it's would not hurt Kevin Hart's career to make a comedy where the lead opposite him is Lena Waithe or even like Titus from like Unbreakable yeah. Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
You know, if we see more straight men, particularly black straight men, reaching out and doing things like that, I think that that could go a long way. And it's something that we actually never demand of people, you know?
It's also better than an apology.
It is better than an apology. I don't want an apology. I want a check.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's beautiful.
So you're gonna, Ira will be in the next Kevin Hart film.
I will be in Get Hard too.
Wanda Sykes is going to play your manager at a store.
But we're back. R. Kelly. Whatever. Last week, Lifetime aired the docuseries Surviving R. Kelly, a painful window into the torment and damage that survivors of Kelly's sexual abuse faced. His crimes have been a lot.
As in, there have been a lot of them.
Yes, there have been a lot of them, from knowingly passing along STDs, sexually abusing underage girls, allegedly holding women in sex cults. Basically, the documentary got into all of that shit, and it had some lovely interviews from John Legend. Tarana Burke was executive produced by Dream Hampton. It was a necessary documentary to come out, and I'm glad that so many people saw it and watched it, but I also couldn't get through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. God.
Because just watching two episodes, I was like, this is
I was like, I don't want to watch because, one, I know about this, so I'm not the one that needs, like,
black
my fucking,
women don't need
yeah,
to be watching
I was like,
it.
I'm not the one that needs my eyes opened about this, but I was also just like, I don't want to sit there and watch, like, black women in extreme pain, which is something that, like, I feel like we see on screen so much anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I personally can't do that, but I'm glad that it has. But you know what's interesting? Most of the people I've seen talking about it are black women. So,
yeah.
You know, we've already been talking
hashtags.
About it. Yeah. And like, it really was when you saw that, you're like, well, who else is watching this? And who else perhaps doesn't feel moved enough to say anything? Or maybe they're just not watching it at all. But it was still black women talking about and supporting other black women.
I will say watching, I saw the first three episodes of it. I do think it's interesting, like, reconciling how apathetic everybody was just even about initial rumors of him well before even tapes came out. I mean, I even think about like conversations I had as like a young teenager where you would hear like, oh, did you hear he like married Aaliyah? But you would say it in the same way like you would talk about an unsubstantiated Hollywood claim like, I heard Tom Cruise is gay. Like, you would believe it's true or not true and then not talk about it again when the fact was we actually did have all this evidence against him and it should have been a much more serious conversation from the start. So watching that, I kept thinking about how unserious the conversation was for so long. That said, watching it, I was surprised at how Lifetime-y the music cues were watching this. It felt a little like there was melodrama where it didn't need to be melodrama because the interviews themselves were so harrowing. It was so nearly impossible to watch. I almost could have just watched, you know, those interviews without anything else, without explanation in between them, and been kind of a little bit more satisfied by the project.
Well, the creepiest some of the interviews were, especially that one with the juror, where the juror was like, I didn't believe those girls who talked about what R. Kelly had done to them because I didn't like how they dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, it's what we already know. The idea that people look at young black girls, look at young black men, see them as older, see them as deserving of things that happen to them.
Also, I mean, like, why the fuck was Charlamagne there?
Right.
Have no idea why Charlamagne was involved, especially since he has rape allegations himself.
Right. It's aired, the conversation is happening. Like, it really is now, like, kind of holding your breath and seeing what's going to come from it, if anything. There is a bunch of people that need to fucking say something. Like, so far, like, John Legend was in the documentary. Mm-hmm. Chance the Rapper has expressed his regret for working with him. There have been artists that Omarion was like, did you know R. Kelly wrote Bump, Bump, Bump by B2K? And he was like, after this tour, I'm not going to perform that song anymore.
Tank, Bun B on Instagram, like, fuck R. Kelly.
Exactly. So you've had, but there are a ton more people that need to open their mouths about this.
You know what? While she's on her long Oscar tour, I would love if anybody would ask Lady Gaga about it.
Mm-hmm. Because that was not long ago.
It was not.
She truly has not really addressed working with him on Do What You Want. I remember that creepy-ass performance they did at whatever award show it was.
Maryland-themed?
Where she was Maryland, he was the president.
Gross.
It was
creepy.
There's a video that never aired. It's unfortunate that the song is a banger.
I know.
But
I listen to the Christina version when it does come on.
The Christina's version is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has not really addressed it. And that's what we're talking about. The people who need to hear it. I know that the little monsters always get mad on Twitter when you bring it up. Like, she dropped the video. She doesn't work with him. That was so long ago. I'm like, but as with the Kevin Hart thing, it does not hurt to repeat that you are sorry for something and that you shouldn't have done it.
And now it's like the tide is hopefully turning. It is not, I mean, it's not courageous for Lady Gaga to say anything now.
Totally.
It's just like, it's just what you should be doing. It will not harm you. You will be fine. Like, the notion that this is going to impact you negatively when it can only help things, it's just like, this is not a brave thing to do now. It's just a thing you should be doing.
And also, by the way, I'm remembering correctly, she was the one who was on Colbert after Christine Blasey Ford testified, and she had that amazing kind of monologue about that situation. It's like, you can't tell me Lady Gaga wouldn't have something insightful to say about this.
Well, she had the Oscar performance with all of those sexual violence and abuse victims. It's like, you in particular, you should have been opening your mouth about this.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of you. There's a bunch of people.
There is a bunch of people.
Because R. Kelly seemed to be working with goddamn everybody.
Yeah. Honestly, Jay-Z, best of both worlds.
Damon Dash actually did say something.
Yeah, he said that he remembered saying that, like, it was wild that Jay-Z was working with R. Kelly.
And he took his name off of the project.
Yeah. Even Brooks Wheelan from SNL had a tweet where he said that he never really paid attention to a lot of things on the show, but he remembers when R. Kelly was there, like, backstage for something, and he said he remembers asking Kenan Thompson who that was, and Kenan was like, he's bad, stay away from him.
Jesus.
Wow.
More stuff like that. Everyone was so ready to come out and say that they denounce Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. I just wish that more people in the music industry would come out and denounce R. Kelly, particularly white people, because it would show that they care about the black people that they work with, the black people who listen to their music.
And really just all victims. It just shows that it's like there are all types of victims. There are so many types of women that have been abused and that have been exposed to this. And it's like you're just showing that you care about all of them, because we've done a really good job of showing that we care about rich white actresses who have been, you know, who've been sexually assaulted and harassed and things like that. It's just a matter of being like, I care about all victims.
And also, I just think the more commentary there is on him, I still feel like on some mainstream level, we haven't hit the level of monstrousness he actually is. I still feel like it hasn't been fully like cemented in everybody's mind. Guys, this is like so insanely, unprecedentedly awful. You know, I still feel like people are like, he's a bad guy. I wanted to get to the level of it is crazy that we let him do anything for as long as we did.
Yeah. All right, when we're back, keep it. And we're back. It's 2019, and this is still my favorite segment of the episode.
Still?
Yeah.
We get to be mean.
Yeah.
As if we're like super nice the rest of the episode. It's okay.
We get to remind people that the show is called Keep It.
Right.
And we're talking about things we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people stumble in and they're like, oh my God, they were mean to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Keep It. It's not called I Love This. It's not I'm Loving It.
Although Lewis will do his gymnastics
to
sometimes keep it to something that ends up being like a positive. It's just him saying nice things about someone.
I love it in a weird way. Yeah.
Well, let's see if Lewis is actually going to say keep it to something this week. Go ahead.
You know what? It actually is a little twisted. Okay, keep it to the best actress race this year because somebody has been left out of it. I think that counts.
Bette Davis in Now Voyager.
Oh, but did you watch that recently?
I did.
Isn't it so amazing?
It's great.
It's camp, but also fabulous. Toni Collette in Hereditary. I just saw this movie. I don't know what it took me forever to get to it. So I had just heard it was a horror movie. It is four movies in one. It is a family tragedy drama. It is a kind of gothic horror movie. And then a regular horror movie. This woman, Toni Collette, gives, I'll say, four different performances that are all staggering. I mean, look, I like Glenn Close in The Wife. I like Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born. Those are lingering in the three-star category for me. This is an all-time performance, and it is wild that it has not broken into the Oscars discussion. Or if it has, it's been quieter than it needs to be. Because I don't know if you watched United States of Tara. She's slated on that, too, with her, like, 80 characters who all wore different baseball hats and stuff.
So keep it to
the
Toni
best actress race.
To the, not including
yes.
Toni Collette.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Toni Ben Collette.
Precisely. Mariel's Wedding, The Sixth Sense.
I love In Her Shoes.
I am a fan of In Her Shoes. I feel Little Miss Sunshine, she was amazing in.
I love Toni Collette.
Yeah. So Toni Collette rules. Her every facial expression is shocking. You know what she's kind of like? You know how Julia Roberts, she doesn't have to move her face much because she has big features, so everything registers in a huge way on a big screen for her? That's how Toni Collette is. She can like wince suddenly, and it's so theatrical and yet not trying too hard. So I'm rooting for her to get into this conversation.
Well, can't wait till she's off Broadway in The Hot L Baltimore. Anyway, Kara, what's your keep it?
My keep it is to the chatter and hubbub around the Fiji water girl at the Golden Globes. This was literally just a woman hired for the night to serve water to people.
Yes.
She's standing there with her tray of water, trying to do her job in the background. And people were like trying to make it into a meme because she knows she's on camera. So she's not going to be sitting there picking her nose. Like, it wasn't weird that she was standing there looking photogenic the whole time. She can see the cameras. Do you know how cameras work? She sees them right in front of her. She sees Lupita Nyong'o standing 2 feet in front of her, and she knows people are taking her picture. And it really was like a desperate grab to make the Golden Globes like sort of interesting or funny this year, and it was a lame attempt, lamer than usual.
I wouldn't be surprised if it turned out the Globes were behind it, like that kind of thing, because it's not interesting.
It's like that was, she was a waiter. That's what you guys were laughing at.
She has a facial expression.
It's a woman serving water.
Well, I say keep it to the Fiji water, girl, because we're sponsored by LaCroix.
That's right.
Also, I think Fiji water is bad for the environment.
Because of the plastic bottles?
No, I think they do something they shouldn't do to get the water.
You know what they also aren't? Peach pear, like all good water.
This is true.
Well, you know what? They're not
effervescent.
Precisely.
Call out Linka and the rest of the
Planeteers.
Let's take down Fiji water.
Kwame, get over here. Yeah.
I don't even care enough. You know, I was like, none of this is interesting.
Who was water? Was it Ghee?
Ghee, yes.
Ghee, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was deep Linka, though.
Yeah. Fuck Fiji.
Okay.
Unless you want to write us a check. Anyway, my keep it is to Beyonce.
Now, who is that?
Well, she is a popular singer from 1945.
The Fighting Temptations.
Used to perform
Carmen
that,
and Hip Hopera.
The Cotton Clubs in Harlem. She was very popular there.
Mm-hmm.
No. So, not to Beyonce in general, because obviously I love her, but yesterday Beyonce showed up at Target in Westwood.
Oh, she was in Westwood?
Yeah. It was the Westwood Target, mm-hmm. which, first of all, fuck that Target.
I do not love that Target.
It's a trash Target. She should have been at the one on La Brea.
Precisely.
I will say, though, the concept of Beyonce just strolling through Target like she's nobody, just going through the aisles, is so upsetting to me. Target is a place where I put on my sweatpants, I run in, get what I need, plus $300 worth of things I don't need.
Right. Do you think Beyonce's like, a $5 copy of Top Gun, I'll take it.
It is supposed to be a safe haven for when you are looking a mess. When you run into your friends at Target, you were sort of just like, hey.
Everyone acts like they don't know each other. Everyone has the common sense to just sort of like say hi and keep walking because neither of you wants to have that conversation. No.
Yes.
If I'm in Target, I look like a Nick Nolte mugshot.
Yes. So the concept of me just rolling in the Target and then all of a sudden Beyonce strolls through an aisle, that is so upsetting to me because now I feel like I need to actually put on clothes when I go to Target from now on.
Well, you're like, trying to find the Drano. Like, right. What aisle is it? And then wham, you run into Beyonce in a peach jumpsuit. Like, girl, someone can do this for you.
And meanwhile, you look like you just left the gym.
Yeah.
What was she getting that she had to pick it up herself? I just have
to
know.
I think she just I've heard this from inside sources, but she just likes going to Target. Which is, fair.
No.
I love going to Target. But she just likes it.
Yeah.
So, I don't think she's... I don't think it's like, Jay's like, we're out of toilet paper. And she's like, no one else can get it but me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like, I feel like being a commoner today.
No, so I will go to Target and I end up leaving with just grape icebreakers. Like nothing.
Guys, on Sunday was my mom's day to go to Target where she would leave in the morning, leave us with my dad for hours. And that was just what she would do. And she would come back with a ton of shit we didn't necessarily need. But that was her time. She was like, it's Sunday, I'm going to Target. Be with your dad. I don't care what you kids are doing. This is my time.
I walked into Target once and bought a 75-inch TV. I went there for air freshener.
Over Christmas, when I'm home for like holiday or whatever, I will go to Target and just wait for like people from high school to walk around so I can tell them my life is great. Guess where I live? A coast. Target's like my HQ for showing up my old enemies.
All right. You literally are Mavis from Young Adult.
That's, yes. The Juicy Couture sweatpants, that's me.
So you want Beyonce to stop going to Target?
Yeah, I want her to stop going to Target.
Or Beyonce, go to Target in your sweatpants.
Yes.
Yeah, she looked pretty smashing.
She looked incredible, yeah.
Show up looking sweaty in some Ivy Park, girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's one, promo for Ivy Park, and two, you'll make us feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. She's not going to do that.
She's certainly not.
There's a fan following her through Target.
She is so rude. She called ahead, turn on all the fans in aisle 7 when I walk through. That wasn't a bystander who took that photo. She had Julius do it.
Yeah, that was like Solange herself. Yeah.
All right, this has been Keep It.
First one of 2019.
First one of 2019. Thank you to Dan Levy for being on the show. And thank you as always to Karen Lewis for brightening my day.
Is that what we do?
Yeah.
I'm not up to thanking you yet, but we'll get there.
All right, well, fuck you. We'll see you next week.